Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. It's in the Charlie Kirk Show. Brigitte Gabriel talks about Islam. She'll answer some questions that you have about a major religion on the planet. We also have Citizen Kane from CitizenFreePress.com and how the media almost started World War III. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is someone I've known for quite some time, Brigitte Gabriel, who runs Act for America. Brigitte, thank you so much for joining us. Brigitte, there's a lot I want to talk about, but your story is amazing. And first time we've had you on for quite a while. Brigitte, tell our audience your story and why you have made it your mission to educate the West about Islam. Brigitte Gabriel.
Thank you, Charlie, for having me with you. The reason why I'm so passionate about speaking up against the evil and terrorism is because my life was affected by it. I was born and raised in Lebanon, which used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East. We were open-minded. We were fair. We were tolerant. We were multicultural. We prided ourselves on our multiculturalism. We had open border policy. We welcomed everyone to our country. Unfortunately, our lives turned upside down because of our open-mindedness and multiculturalism, because we imported people to our country who did not share our values. My 9/11 happened to me in 1975 when radical Islamists, Palestinian radical Islamists, blew up my home, bringing it down, burying me under the rubble wounded. I ended up in a hospital for 2.5 months. And as I laid in a bed going from one surgery to another, I would ask my father, why did they do this to us? And my father would tell me, because we are Christians, they consider us infidels and they want to kill us. So I learned since I was a 10-year-old little girl that I am wanted dead simply because I was born into the Christian faith and lived in a Christian town. I ended up leaving the hospital and coming back home, but my home was no longer the home I left. I ended up living underground in an 8x10 bomb shelter without electricity, without water, and very little food. And that's where I lived for the next 7 years of my life, from the age of 10 till the age of 17, robbed of my youth.
It's an incredible story, Brigitte. And so now you have Act for America. You talk about this. Let me ask you, is it institutional Islam that believes this? Because we're told that it's radical Islam. What percentage of practicing Muslims look at Christians, Jews, and Westerners with disgust or disdain? Explain this to us, Brigitte, as someone who knows the region very well. You know what the Quran teaches and you know Islam. What is the truth of radical Islam versus institutional or normative modern Islam? Brigitte Gabriel.
Well, look what's happening with the Palestinians right now. I mean, the head of Hamas right now is calling for a worldwide day of rage for the Islamic Ummah. And notice how he said the Islamic Ummah, the Islamic nation. Because under Islam, it doesn't matter where you are. Once a war is declared against any infidel, they all come together against the enemy. That's why you see Hamas naming the attack against Israel the Flood of Al-Aqsa. They invoke the Al-Aqsa Mosque. There are Christian Palestinians. You don't hear them provoke invoking the Holy Sepulchre Day of Rage or Bethlehem Day of Rage. The problem with the radical Islamists and the reason why they are using political Islam, especially Hamas and the terrorists, to bring the whole world, the Islamic Ummah, on their side is because they know it works, because it's based on doctrine. The doctrine in the religion of Islam, remember, Islam is a political movement cloaked in religion. So when you look at, of course, not all Muslims in the world are radical. The majority of them are peaceful people like you and me who just want to raise their children. They do not want to have anything to do with the religion or the radicals. Unfortunately, it is the radicals that create mayhem. It is the radicals that destroy the world and bring the world into war. I give a perfect example about the lessons of history. When you look at Germany, for example, when the Nazis were elected to power, not all Germans were radicals. The majority of Germans were peaceful people. The Nazis were the minority, but as a result, they drove the agenda. And as a result, 15 million people died. 6 million were Jews. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at Russia, for example, most Russians were peaceful. Yet Russia was able to kill 20 million people. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at Japan, for example, most Japanese were peaceful prior to World War II. Yet the radical were able to kill 12 million people killed by bayonets and shovels. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you take communist China, for example, not all Chinese were radical, but communist China was able to kill 70 million people. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. So maybe there are 20% of radical Islamists in the world. That leaves 80% moderate, 80% peaceful, who do not want to do anything with radicalism. But if September 11th taught us one thing, it took 19 radicals to bring America down, attack the Pentagon, kill almost 3,000 Americans on that day, and bring air travel to a halt. The peaceful majority, we had 2.3 million Arab Muslims in the United States on that day. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. And that's why when I speak about radicalism, I am talking about the radicals. I'm talking about the Hamas, which is now ISIS 2.0. I'm talking about people who are willing to kill children, kidnap children, rape women, behead people, burn people alive, simply because they don't like them for who they are. The Hamas terrorists didn't stop once to ask a Jewish mother, are you a lefty or you're a conservative? Do you like Bibi Netanyahu or do you hate Bibi Netanyahu? What do you think about the Palestinian cause? Not one question. They killed them because they were Jewish. That's why people like you and me, Charlie, need to stand up, speak up the truth, throw political correctness in the garbage. No matter how high the price is for us to speak the truth, we have to speak the truth because we need to save the world.
Yes, we do. So, Brigitte, explain to us some of the details of Islam, of let's be nice and generous, some of the verses that might get misinterpreted or misapplied, because or interpreted as the words say, that talk about killing the infidel, killing the Jew. Talk about what the theology itself instructs and how some people use that as a way to invoke terror and death and destruction, massacre and genocide. Fill us in, Brigitte, on some of the details that our audience might not be aware of with, let's just say, theological Islam.
Well, I am not a scholar on Islam, but I can tell you anybody that reads the Quran can see the words for themselves. Islam was written in two sections, the book. When Muhammad tried to appeal to, when he received the message that he was supposedly the prophet of Islam, he tried to appeal to the people in his own city. He tried to recruit them, but nobody listened to him. So finally he decided, okay, I'm going to go to the Jews in Medina. I'm going to try to appeal to them. That's why you see a lot of similarity between Judaism and Islam. That's why Jews pray a few times a day, Muslims pray a few times a day. Jews fast on Yom Kippur, Muslims fast on Ramadan. You see a lot of similarities. Islam, Prophet Muhammad packaged his religion and went to the Jews to recruit them. When they refused him, that's when Islam turned political. That's when all the verses in the Quran that followed started talking about killing the infidel, cutting off their heads, cut off their hands and toes because they disobeyed Allah. That's why there is in Islam a law called an-naskh wal-mansukh, the law of abrogation, meaning that all the previous verses, any new verse, erase all the previous verses before it. That's why when people quote you the moderate verses in Islam, they're quoting from the previous era when Prophet Muhammad was trying to appeal to the Jews to accept him. Once they didn't, the latest verses of the Quran, which replaced all the previous moderate verses, a call for jihad against the infidel, for killing the infidel. And that's why ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all the radical Islamists, when they get into a debate with a moderate Muslim, they pull out the Quran, they start reading from it. And that's why they always win the debate, because the law is on their side.
Yeah, I mean, hearing all that, let's import more from Somalia and from the Middle East into our country. It's unbelievable. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/charlie. So Brigitte, we have imported millions of Muslims into the country, and it seems as if they are not assimilating. Look at what happens in Minneapolis with the Somali Muslim population. Why is that, Brigitte Gabriel? Why is it that the Arab Muslim immigrants to America seem resistant to assimilating to Western values?
Well, the world is changing. Remember, the Arabs and Muslims who immigrated from the Middle East prior to 9/11, prior to 2001, assimilated just fine. We started seeing the radicalization of the Islamic world after the Iranian mullahs came to power in 1979. That's when we started seeing a true rise of radical Islamism worldwide. So right now, since 2000, we started seeing all the imams that are preachers and mosques in the United States being imported from places like Egypt, like Syria, like Afghanistan, like Pakistan, who are coming to America and being more radical than the generation before them. And so when you end up bringing now big blocks from the Islamic world who did not come here because they were so tired of the corruption in their states, they wanted freedom, they wanted a civilized society, those are the original Muslims who used to immigrate here. Right now, when you import a group of people as refugees because you want to help them and bring them in mass by the tens of thousands, there is no possible way you can assimilate them. And that's why they regroup together. For example, you mentioned the Somali community. We didn't bring them all to Minnesota. We actually scattered them all over the country. They ended up, people who we settled in Tennessee, driving up back up to Minnesota because they heard that's where their clan or their tribe or a bunch of Somalis are. And then they group together. And that's where you see radicalism fester. And that's why we had 42 terrorists from the Somali community in Minnesota go to the Middle East and fight with the radical Islamists in the Middle East. Actually, the first American suicide bomber was a Somali American who became a suicide bomber. So it is a problem. And that's why we do not want to import Palestinian refugees into the country. No way, in any shape or form. I encourage people to go to our website, actforamerica.org. actforamerica.org. We have a petition, a whole campaign directed to Congress right now. We do not want one Palestinian refugee settled in the United States. They destroy everywhere they go. They create problem. The Arabic countries do not want them, and we do not want them either. Go to actforamerica.org and take action today.
Brigitte, in all of your work of doing this for the last couple of decades, what do you think is one of the great misconceptions people have about Islam? You touched on this a little bit in the first segment, but you say that the peaceful majority is actually not the operative way to look at this, that there's actually a violent radical minority that then governs the peaceful majority. But even Brigitte, I look at some of these public approval polls of what actually rank and file Muslims believe in certain of these, some of these countries. And it's shocking. What is the one thing that you want our audience to know, the American people to know, that is a, let's just say a misconception that people have about Islam in America or worldwide?
Again, in all religions, you have people who are radical and you have people who do not adhere to the religion as much. In Islam is the same thing. Those who adhere to Islam, look, we have Americans in America who are members of the Nation of Islam, can't even read Arabic, have never read the Quran in Arabic. They have no idea what the people who adhere to the Islamic Ummah believe. But what you have to understand is Islam by itself is a political doctrine. It's not a religion like Judaism and Christianity. And that's why majority of the people identify with the Islamic Ummah, the Islamic nation. That's why you see more similarity and loyalty between a Muslim in Khartoum and a Muslim in America who feels closer to a Muslim in America than he feels to a Christian in Khartoum. And because of the radicalism in the doctrine itself. So while most Muslims are peaceful, the doctrine itself is a violent ideology calling for the killing and being at war with the non-Muslim land until eternity.
Brigitte Gabriel, you always tell it like it is. Plug the website one more time. Plug anything you want.
We are in a fight for our survival. This is barbarism versus civilization. This is democracy versus dictatorship. This is evil versus goodness. Go to actforamerica.org. Join us. Sign up to get our emails and action alert. And make sure you sign our petition to stop any Palestinians from coming into the country and expel Rashida Tlaib from Congress.
Very good. I love that. Brigitte Gabriel, God bless you. Hope to see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests. He runs a website that I visit, I'd say, about 30 times a day. It is CitizenFreePress.com. It is what Drudge used to be. Mr. Kane, welcome to the program. Citizen Kane here. I don't even know where to start. Kane, what stories are you really tracking right now? I mean, you've been the best on the Israel coverage. Simultaneously, we have this House debacle. Let's start with the House and the Speaker of the House. What is CFP Nation thinking about what's happening in the House of Representatives?
Well, thanks for having me, Charlie. First of all, if I sound different, you know, I've got a flak jacket on and I'm in my secret backyard World War III bunker. So I'm prepared for the World War III brought on by fake news at New York Times and CNN. Jumping to the Jim Jordan thing, I just posted an update. You asked about the reaction from CFP Nation. They're bewildered. They're bewildered, Charlie. You know, this is a long, never-ending soap opera. They were behind Jim Jordan. We were behind the, you know, we were working the phones. I had thousands of people dialing their Congress people and letting them know to get behind Jim Jordan. So they're bewildered. And they weren't, I don't think they were prepared for this. I think what they were prepared for was some sort of reiteration of what happened with Kevin McCarthy 8 months ago, where it took multiple ballots, but Jim Jordan would eventually be confirmed. So this was a, not expected, a little bit out of left field, and they're a little bit stunned. That's all I could say.
Yeah, and it's also demoralizing because it looks as if a coalition government is getting formed, which means Democrats are basically going to take over the House. Hopefully that doesn't happen. So let's talk about that World War III thing, because that's, we'll put that aside. Kane, we came out very forcefully and said we don't think that what the hospital story is saying is true. We get attacked as conspiracy theorists, right? They attack us. We came out, we said, wait a second, we don't think what's happening here at the hospital story, that it all adds up. And people were attacking us from every direction. And guess what? Turns out our instinct was right. because he said, look, the mortar shell's not enough. It looks like a parking lot. They tried to start a world war on fake news. New York Times, Al Jazeera, Reuters, Ben Collins, disinformation expert. They never get held accountable. And yet we are the ones, Kane, that get right. Just another article today. Charlie Kirk spews conspiracy theories. Really? We spew conspiracy theories. We said that 500 people likely did not die. Guess what? We were right. Play cut 95.
Just in the last few minutes, there's been some news coming out of AFP where an EU official has said that it is their understanding that the number of casualties that occurred at the explosion in the hospital in Gaza, that this number may have been widely exaggerated by Hamas. This is something that Israel has been saying for some time. Now, they're saying that they understand that the casualties are somewhere in the round of a dozen to around 50.
Oh, so a dozen to 50 people died, 10 to 50, not 500 people. A hospital was not bombed, not by Israel. It was a parking lot. They were trying to start a regional war. They shut down the meeting with Biden and Abbas and al-Sisi and King Abdullah. The Muslim mobs don't care about the truth. Muslim mobs don't know the truth. They just want blood. And the media was pouring gas on the fire trying to start World War III. Kane, is it fair to say that fake news could trigger World War III, Citizen Kane?
Absolutely, and it's one of the headlines in the stack. I would direct people to go to citizenfreepress.com and find it. You'll find it quickly and easily. Mark Hemingway wrote a great piece for The Federalist talking about it this morning. Everything you said there is 100% correct. This is, you know, I've been watching media sort of these kind of media mistakes for 25, 30 years now. And I honestly have never seen anything like it. And I saw it and I sort of knew it was going to happen on that first day. First of all, kudos to you. The number I've been hearing this morning is a dozen. It's 12 people killed. Look, anyone who knows anything about munitions know that bombs that come from planes don't generally create huge fire. They blow up their target and that's it. This was a firebomb from the beginning, which should have immediately told anyone with half a brain that there was all kinds of rocket fuel involved. And when is rocket fuel involved in an explosion? When it's a missile, and Israel wasn't firing missiles. They were dropping bombs from planes. So it should have been obvious, but it didn't matter. CNN still yesterday was pushing fake news. They were asking the IDF spokesman what her thought was about, about this alternative view. And then you have Rashida Tlaib, right? You have her yesterday afternoon knowing full well that this had been debunked completely. And you had her still continuing to push the fake news. And I've got a headline up in the stack and talks about, it mentions illiterate Muslims thinking that Coca-Cola is owned by Israel. The reason I put that headline up there is to show the people that once fake news gets set in the Muslim world, it's done. You can't correct it. You aren't dealing with people who check news and read stories. These, you know, for the most part are, I'm not going to denigrate the whole group, but there are hundreds of millions of illiterate Muslims around the world.
That's right. You're right. And it's okay to say this, Kane, and I'll finish a sentence for you. Many of them are illiterate. Many of them are in the third world and they get worked up into a mob. And it's not as if as soon as they start throwing bombs and they're throwing rocks at the Beirut embassy, they all of a sudden you whisper in their head, hey guys, actually it was Hamas. They said, no. They don't care at that point, right? At that point, it's not as if you could calm them down. And I hate to say it, Kane, because some of them have almost been looking, some of them have been looking for an excuse to go and attack Western embassies and go kill Jews. And this was put forward. By the way, they put the black flag up. Iran did. The black flag is already up and the Western media turns against them, though turns against Israel. This has been one of the most repulsive news narratives because guess what? Joe Biden was on his way. Joe Biden was on his way to the Middle East and he was about to meet with Abbas and al-Sisi, Abdullah, try to calm down tensions. This PSYOP worked. This PSYOP worked and the media fell for it and no one is held accountable. Not the disinformation experts, not the New York Times. Let's play cut 83. Here's Rashida Tlaib, who should be deported from America. Play cut 83.
Continue to watch people think it's okay to bomb a hospital. You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry. And my like, let them cry. They can cry. I can cry. We all can cry. If we're not crying, something is wrong. We are literally watching people commit genocide and killing a vast majority just like this. And we still stand by and say nothing.
She's a liar. She's a liar. She's a terrorist sympathizer. She hates the country. She hates Jews. Citizen Kane, your reaction.
Yeah, and her influence is huge. People don't understand. You know, Rashida Tlaib is known worldwide as the PLO congresswoman, the Palestinian congresswoman. They all pay attention to her, and she knows that her words are followed extremely closely. That display yesterday, what you said about her deporting her is absolutely correct. I would go with criminal charges. I mean, if we, you know, if Biden's DOJ can't come up with some sort of incitement to World War III. These people do not understand what they're dealing with. As you've laid out, these are billions. I said hundreds of millions before. There are billions of illiterate Muslims worldwide who will never learn the truth because the leaders of those Muslim nations have, as you said, a built-in incentive and a bloodlust to finally destroy Israel. And so they will gladly use it. And the New York Times changed their headline 3 times in 14 hours after originally essentially assigning blame, believing the Gaza Ministry of Health, which we all know now is essentially the Hamas Ministry of Health. It is absolutely insane. I have not turned on CNN or MSNBC this morning, just sort of out of fear. But that's what they need to be talking about because it's their side. This is sort of leftist regime media, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN. They were all open to this idea and ready to run with it as soon as Hamas offered it. And honestly, I'll back off here in a second, but honestly, people do not understand. This is literally a lie that can't be untold. And it's a lie that could... I'm worried about, you know what I'm worried about, Charlie? I'm worried about how it hamstrings Israel. Because what I was actually interested in after the gore and horror of this initial attack, I was excited because Hamas was going to be exterminated. I've been watching this crap for 30 years and waiting for someone to get rid of Hamas. And now I feel like this fake news that Israel is essentially going to be forced to pull back, delay their invasions, and delay their extermination of Hamas because the world believes a lie.
That is exactly right. And I know Rashida Tlaib was born in America. I know that.
I didn't. I forgot.
I am very well aware. She hates the country. Well, it's hard to remember. Ilhan Omar not born here. She should be deported. And the spirit of it is Rashida Tlaib has a lot more allegiance to the Muslim Arab world. She's a Palestinian flag outside of her office. She is out there peddling a lie. To try and win sympathy with tears. Even Hamas is killing their own citizens. Pure and total and complete demagoguery. Terrorist sympathizer across the board. And by the way, why do we keep on bringing in more third worlders? What is the Republican Party doing to say we should have no more immigration, period?
Absolutely.
From people that hate us. Absolutely. You get more Rashida Tlaibs. You get more Ilhan Omars. This is a disgrace. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, 3 pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out the Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. Rashida Tlaib, born in Detroit, Michigan, oldest of 14 kids born to Palestinian immigrant parents, spoke Arabic at home. So if you bring in Palestinian refugees, you get people like Rashida Tlaib. Really great. The best America has to offer. Kane, talk more about the Israel issue and how you think America's responding to it. I think, Kane, that we still have not received answers about the intel failure, the failure to mobilize helicopters, the 20-hour response. I've received a lot of backlash for even mentioning this. Kane, you aggregate news. Do you feel satisfied as a truth seeker that we have the entire picture as to what happened on that terrible day where Jews were massacred by Muslims?
No, and there's a fantastic piece by the great writer Lee Smith for Tablet Magazine. It's in the stack, and people go there and search for Lee Smith. And he wrote just about that, about these intelligence failures, both on behalf of U.S. and Israel. You know, my first thought is, look, the CIA's got a pretty big budget, right? CIA's has to be cultivating human intelligence inside Gaza, inside Hamas, inside Islamic Jihad. I feel like this I think the CIA and these different agencies have spent too much time concentrating on being woke and implementing woke agendas and not paying. And perhaps even there's a bias against not wanting to, quote unquote, conduct espionage on some of the leftist favorite darlings, which obviously Hamas and Palestine are. What you're talking about with the 20-hour delays and what was going on in Israel. Yeah, I mean, huge questions. Look, one of the things that I sort of as a guy over the last 30 years, I've always admired. I always felt like Israel had the greatest military in the world. I always felt like Mossad was fantastic. I'm old enough to remember when the hostages were kidnapped in the 72 Olympics. And I took great joy in the fact that Mossad tracked down every single one of those guys 20, 25 years later. Double tap in the head. You may not even see me coming. It's one of the things I've admired and loved about Israel. So this was an absolute failure. Yes, it was a holiday. Yes, things had been relatively calm. But I don't think any of that is an excuse. And you know, there needs to be tribunals. We need to figure out what happened. And obviously we can't tell Israel what to do, but I imagine the people there are pretty upset. And from the kind of stuff I've been reading, it's the kind of thing that over time they will probably demand. And the questions you raise will probably, you're going to be vindicated. You'll be able to take a little bit of a victory lap when these mistakes were exposed. You know, something we posted on CFP, and I'm sure you've talked about, is no Arab countries want Palestinian refugees. Egypt was doing everything possible to keep them away. Jordan doesn't want them. Lebanon doesn't want them. Why? Because these are people that are trained from birth to hate, to be bloodthirsty. And these nations, Israel used to take Palestinian refugees and Egypt had taken Palestinian refugees in the past and they learned their lesson in a very violent way. And so nobody wants the Palestinians. Yes, Israel made some tragic mistakes. Now I want to talk about Biden for a second. One of the articles I put up overnight was how the hostage parents are furious at Netanyahu and Biden. They feel as though the only leverage that Israel has over Hamas for these, you know, it's 30 kidnapped children and between 200 and 250 total hostages. The only leverage is food, water, and electricity. Have these people suffer. And what was Biden doing? We found out that Blinken and Biden and on the way that they were already pressing for the humanitarian corridor. They even told Netanyahu, we want not one civilian death. So I feel like the Biden administration is already undermining the hostage rescue efforts. I feel like Hamas is not under any pressure when the Palestinian people aren't rioting. And when Palestinian people don't have food, don't have water, don't have electricity, guess what? They're going to be pissed off at Hamas. And it takes a huge amount of the pressure off them. And that's what these hostage families are saying, that all the leverage is gone. And that has infuriated me.
Citizen Kane from Citizen Free Press. We're out of time. CitizenFreePress.com. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.